What's good? You're listening to Culture Quests, the podcast where we ask the question, why are we like this? On this podcast, we explore culture, but culture that's specific to us as Bahamians, as Black people, as Caribbean people, all that good stuff. I'm MCK, and I'm here with the homie from Time, Jay, and our boy Proof is here as well. As always, we're going to talk about all things us, and as always, shout out to the Solid Network. Today, we also have a guest on, our first guest ever. You may know him as W. He's make funny, smart videos with a confusing name on Instagram. The Shin, what it is? Shin?
Shun? Shinwin.
Shinwin. You gotta, we could dive into that. Stephen Anna is hanging out with us today. You okay going by your government name like that?
I mean, that's fine. Like, some people know that's me. Other people don't. But you know.
Well, we got
Where Hannes from, babe?
All Hannes from the same place, babe.
you gotta say Mars or...
No, like, because then people be like, oh, y'all, you wanted the Hannes from Auckland. It's like all the Hannes in the Bahamas from Auckland, even the ones who they from Andes.
Well, that's sick. That's some good insight.
That's crazy.
So we got a Hannah hanging out with us today. My first question for you, Bay, is have you ever been in love?
I mean, I guess. Yeah, I see you going straight to the mixtape.
Have you ever been? No, but for real, thank you for coming through. Appreciate you. But like every episode, we like to try to start the podcast with some show and prove. We are certified Bahamians, and we could prove it. For instance, I still vividly remember Coral World, how the young kids just call it Cow World. Y'all remember Coral World?
You know, I never went.
Yeah, bro.
Wow. Like, good.
It's sad.
So it's not a figment of my imagination.
No, I mean, if it existed, it existed. But like, I never actually went inside. Like, I remember my cousin went on a field trip, and I was hurt, and I was like, one day I could go there, and now it ain't take no more.
So, even as a kid, I had this idea to make Coral World a club.
Right.
Like, I was a kid, and I was like, but you can imagine a club. Like
this. Underwater, partially underwater,
surrounded by an aquarium.
Right,
that might have been a disaster. Like, no, in hindsight, depending on the demographic that would attend, but I think it had potential. What about you, Jay? What's your Bahamian stat today?
My Bahamian stat would be that my hand trait. So it's like from that ball get heist if I catch it.
That's it.
It over.
All right. We might need to have a tournament.
I official dog. Like, some people are there with their hand cricket in there. Yeah, they're trait. Only Bahamians would understand when you say your hand trait. What that means.
They're straight. All right. But you got proof? What's your Bahamian
card? Oh, well, you know, I tell you all, I mean, I grew up on the island, fresh out of the big yard, right? So even after I left Andres and moved to Nassau, Grammy still used to cook Sunday dinner and put it and send it on the boat, bro.
You lying, bro? What?
straight from the island, bro. No lie.
No, like, telling proof, you, no proof things is be too Bahamian, dog. Like, no, like
telling you, but
just like, no, bro,
you don't need to experience island life, but y'all too acclimated to Nassau, but get out.
Bro, the Caribs ain't even this Bahamian, dog.
get out, bro. Y'all,
so hold on. So you're saying what? I assume it in Tupperware.
In Tupperware, wrapped in foil in a box.
Every Sunday.
Hot. Literally every Sunday.
Yeah, that sounded like
that. I just right there, though.
Yeah, that's not say how far Andres is.
4-hour boat ride. I mean, boat leave 6 a.m. by 10 a.m. 12 o'clock, I have lunch. I come out of church, my food ready.
What a sick. Go straight to the boat.
Bro, that was before she moved to Florida, but I mean, gone are those days.
So even she didn't want to be honest. All right. Yeah. So Shin, what you got? What's your
I got nothing. See, the problem is that I got nothing. I got, like, because inside my head, it's like, I know that everything that makes a person quintessentially Bahamian, I apologize that y'all get academic Shin, and y'all got academic Steven and not comedic Shin.
Not the boy from down the road. That's good, though. We need that balance.
It's like, so everything that makes you quintessentially Bahamian, I know that it isn't across the board. And so I find it difficult. Like, but I don't eat juju. I don't eat.
AJ, no, you can't even make your face up because you had your first cup of 28 salt.
Hold on.
Yeah, like
you can't do that, bro.
Nah, that's like,
juju, like all ages though.
No, but I'm saying I don't eat juju. I don't eat dilly. I don't eat like none of them. The only vehement fruit that I really think that I'll eat is like pineapple, and not technically in a vehement fruit. But I mean, but it we've adopted it. But then technically mango in a vehement fruit. It's hard. It's like it becomes one of those things. Like so you only ask yourself, what is a vehement?
I get one fam. Wow. What buses is go downtown?
I mean. Theoretically, all buses go downtown. Okay, that don't make you me behave. That makes you from that. That makes it from that stop.
Yeah, this is not going well. This is not off to a good start.
People in Long Island don't know nothing about bus. They don't know nothing about no jitney. And then the thing is, Long Island don't have junk canoe. So it's like you can't even say junk
canoe. But I mean, isn't junk canoe collectively all of ours?
Yeah, we can say that, but there are islands that don't celebrate junk canoe or don't have a junk canoe festival. Right,
and so it's like,
yeah, but that's like because I they see it on a can of soda, that's why they know what it is.
That's like saying Nassau on a Fox Hill Day. If we have Fox Hill Day, we ain't in Fox Hill.
But I mean, how much people have actually been to Fox Hill Day, though?
I never been.
That's a different thing.
The point exists. All right, so I get what you're saying. You're making a very philosophical point.
Yeah, I apologize for that. So yeah, I would say kunk, but it's just like
just kunk.
Then all the 7-day Adventists would be, you know, and then like the white behemoths would be like, oh, that's an offensive term. You can't say that. That's our word. You know, it's just it's a whole entire
very thing. Political. Very, very political.
Yeah.
Jeremy face.
I just laugh at how like conk that made its way to being an icon.
Conk has really had a good decade, eh?
A glow up. Because it used to be a pejorative, like that was literally an insult. I mean, it still is, but
yeah,
no tongue in cheek now. Yeah. So,
anyway, that's good. We'll allow your presence here today as behemoths come in many shapes and sizes. So today's episode is brought to you by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. You lock up. That's their slogan, right? You lock up. I love how like. Miranda writes is literally you followed by lockup.
Mm-hmm.
Do we? I asked an officer before if we have an actual like equivalent to Miranda rights, and they was like, "Babe, just know you lockup."
There is a thing. I can't remember what it's called though.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a thing.
Yeah. But it the one time. So when I got locked up,
mm-hmm.
It was printed. The
lockup story.
Yeah, no, I can't go through all that. But it's like, they have it printed on the wall opposite the cells. And like, you lock up, ain't nothing to do. Right? And it's like, I'm reading it. And the only thing that jumps out at me is like, there's a spelling error on this. These niggas then print this wrong. Wow. And it's like, do I bring this up to them? You know, when they come back.
Probably
like,
not a good idea.
You know, y'all mess up the word though. Right in the Cape Beach Police Station.
But suppose you couldn't read them. Like, is it like you're supposed to?
Well, part of it is also, so I don't remember the exact words, but it's something along the lines of you have to be informed of what you're being arrested for in a language of your understanding. Or like mm-hmm. You have to be able to, so whatever they say, you're, which once again, only because I wasn't trying to be a dick, like I wasn't like, but what you mean by that? Because technically speaking, they can't arrest you until you understand that you are being arrested.
Yeah.
That's like, on a technicality, like, if you keep saying, I don't understand what you mean, what that word mean? No, but like, what that mean?
Right.
Theoretically, you're not arrested. And that's not legal advice. I don't suggest anybody do that.
Disclaimer, yeah, please.
Listen to me. Like, this way to get a fist upside your head. Quick.
Listen to me. I can guarantee you when it comes to about 98% of the niggas who get locked up, they know what they're getting locked up for. And then they get locked up.
And then after they done finished getting locked up. Like, and then they release from prison. I've seen it with my own eyes. But we can get into that. So, today we're talking about crime, as you might have guessed. Talking about a big one. Crime is always a major topic of discussion in any sort of society. But I don't know, maybe we could get to the root of it. Maybe we solve crime today. Y'all think that's a lofty goal? Or that should be doable.
Wishful thinking, my guy.
It's all crime. So I wanted to start off with like a question. I think in the media the past couple weeks or so has been like, you know, the whole tourist thing, the tourist warning about like crime in the Bahamas. And I wanted to ask y'all, what y'all think? Do y'all think like it's warranted? Like, should tourists have this? So we have this big blanket warning about travel to this country based on crime being there.
So the thing is, the travel warning didn't actually change. So like that's what it's been for a minute. It's just like they've been warning. Like that's just the general thing that they put out all the time. But what happened was, a slow news day, it's only so much time they could show the war in Gaza. Ain't nobody checking for Ukraine no more. So it's like when first we had the shark attack, you forgot about Ukraine?
that was still happening,
yeah that's what I said. So it's like all these different stuff, the woman get bit by the shark, and then like, you know, they seeing, oh, this many murders and all the Bahamians complain about it in the foreign news. So like, of course, when they go look it up, they say, okay, well, the U.S. just say watch out when you go over there. But that's what the U.S. is say all the time. Yeah. Like we didn't move up or down on the list. We still at the exact same level of safety that we was before. But that doesn't make it better. If anything, you should still be concerned and be like, all right, it looked bad now because people outside talking about it, but all along we was bad. And so the question is
always bad on the list.
Right. So it's like, are we, because like if you use a three, use a three. The question is, are you mad to choose a three because the gals say use a three? Or are you just like, well, yeah, I know. I like, what is it?
But then we have to ask a question. Like, what is a three, though? What is a three, really?
No, but you didn't know you was a three.
Yeah, but three subjective. Like, for instance, this is what I want to say. Like, for instance, I remember that was a year. It had to be a while ago now. But, like, the Bahamas was the murder capital of the world. Like, literally the entire world.
You mean, like, per capita?
Per capita.
Right. But it didn't. When people would talk about it, they wouldn't say, oh, per capita. They would say, oh, this is the murder capital of the world. And I'm thinking, like, there's no way. There's no way. And then until you do further search and it's, like, per capita, and that's because of, you know, how many people we have in the population compared to how many people getting killed. And then you have to contextualize all these things. So I say that to say, is the three really even bad?
But I'm saying that's the question, you know, that we have the answer as – the people who, like, as the Bahamians, are we happy with being this three? Or are we saying, no, this is where we at. It is what it is. We going to move forward. Or are we trying to change that? Like, we all can agree now that we're at three. The question is, are we cool with that? Which oftentimes it feels like, especially, like, when it comes to tourism, but you look around downtown, ain't nobody trying to do nothing new or crazy or, like, culturally relevant with tourists. Everybody just like, what can I sell these dudes them right quick to make $3?
Right.
Ooh. And it's like, babe, this is horrible. Like, if you have a bunch of money as a tourist, coming to Nassau is the worst thing ever, babe. Because like, if you can't rent a scooter and go drive around the island, or if you can't rent going them Jeep safari, what you gonna do? You just gonna walk, jump on the beach and walk back? Yeah. Right.
Wait, you know what I have to say, if you live in Wyoming, walking down is pretty amazing.
But that, that's how it's supposed to be. But the thing is, it's supposed to be like that. Our downtown isn't really a downtown because we forced to go there because all the buses go there, right? But ain't like no shops down there for us. Ain't no restaurants down there for us. Ain't nothing down there for us. If you work it out, even the banks moving from down there. So like, there's no real reason for a Bahamian to be downtown. So there is nothing downtown for tourists to experience. And so all that boils in together. But like, people look at it and be like, well, it don't matter. 8 million tourists come this year. 9 million tourists come that. And like, all we're looking at is the numbers. The government taxing the tourists, the cruise ship by person. So we are getting money for everybody who comes in. But that money ain't gonna make it all the way into the economy because the government got bills.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what are we have to ask ourselves, are we cool with it being right where it is? Because, like, yeah, this, the status quo is this. But
yeah.
Do we want to stay from here? From a reputable standpoint, I guess specifically as it relates to tourism, I don't even think that three matters, because crime don't affect the tourists directly.
Yeah.
I think they're aware that this in most instances, this gang on, right, it exists, and it's gang on gang violence, these locals against locals, you know, and we're
but
it's usually in a city, you know, and they're rarely ever affected. So I don't think,
but I think the perception is that it does affect them. Like, I think, you know, they may not know, oh, this is the sort of crime happening. All they know is his blanket statement, hey, be careful when you go to the Bahamas, because
the high murder rate or whatever. Yeah, I saw an Instagram story, random Instagram reel a few nights back with this white woman. She was talking about her trip to the Bahamas, and she touched on the article about how the U.S. Has us blacklisted because of the high crime or whatever. And she was like, she enjoyed her trip. She wasn't impacted by any tourism. She even ventured into the inner city. I don't know why you would do that as a white woman, but I mean, I don't even do that as a local. But
it's not. Yeah, so
I mean,
can think of a reason or two.
But she was like, you know, she was like, she felt relatively safe. You know, she didn't feel like that black Nassau was warranted to be blacklisted because the crime doesn't directly impact tourists.
Yeah, I definitely personally think is BS, right? Like for instance, I could go and sit down and watch a movie, and I'm not looking over my shoulder if someone's gonna come and shoot up a place or in church for that matter, right? Like, and then they sort of like, it's like, what scale are you weighing things on? It's like, we don't have mass shootings, we don't have bombings, we don't have these things. But then, like, America will put out this list and like, oh, be careful, like, you pretty safe here comparatively, especially as a tourist.
Elsewhere in the world, yeah.
That's their job. We should have put out some warnings ourselves for places like Italy and stuff, but.
Didn't someone do that before?
Diplomatic for that, man.
Fred Mitchell did put out a respond. I think the first time when the U.S. down, when they put up, when they changed with the level we was at,
mm-hmm.
I think he sent a response like back, more or less like telling Bahamians to exercise caution when in Florida or something like that. Something along that. I have to double check. And now I got to double check after I called him out and name and everything. But I remember something.
No, I remember. It was like the police. He was like, oh, you know,
talk like careful friend,
with police, you know, engagement. As we know, like, there's a lot of black hostility or whatever. That was around the time.
Yeah, it was something like, about like, yeah,
Black
about,
Lives Matter.
Like, be careful because of race. So I can't remember specifically. Now I got to go Google it.
Yeah. But yeah, for sure. Like, I personally think it's BS. What you saying, Jay?
I want to say, but from you mentioned not having to look over your shoulders in the movie, or no, having to worry about someone shooting up 7 a.m. mass on First Bethel Baptist or nothing like that. Y'all feel, right now, y'all feel safe, per se? Like, not safe compared to another place, like, or nothing like that, but, like, safe in general. With the crime as it is, have we identified or labeled it as a tree? Y'all feel safe?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can let y'all answer that first.
I feel relatively safe. I mean, but then again, I make educated decisions in my moving. You know, I'm very wise about who I hang with and where I hang, you know. So considering those, yes, I feel safe. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I have to look over my shoulder and be like, bro, you know, I'm a little wary about where we at, time to dip. You know, I'm never going to put myself in that kind of situation. So considering where I do go and who I'm typically with, yes.
What about you, Steven? Like, you feel safe?
Yeah.
Look, you're in a bat cave right now, so imagine.
Oh, no, that's just how the thing looks. So everything, there's still be a giant green thing behind me. I guess. But then again, so I'm always reminded of Aladdin, the movie Aladdin, the first one, the animated one.
Oh, I thought you meant the Will Smith one.
No. I haven't watched Will Smith one, so I don't know. But I'm reminded when he's like, he can't kill people, and then Jafar does something, and it's like, but you'd be surprised what you could live through, right? And so it's like, the fact that I feel safe, you have to ask yourself the question, have I just become acclimatized to certain things? Mm. So it's like, there are other places where if the police... So I was in London. Guns is a big... Like I'm saying, guns ain't a big thing over there. Like, they're guns. Guns exist. People have shot people. The police have access to weapons. But generally speaking, they more concerned about knife crimes. So their whole thing is like, oh, we need to make sure that young, angry men don't go buying butcher knives and stabbing each other. Like, that's their main concern over there. But over here, it's like, we feel like if we get stabbed, at least we have a chance to survive, because these dudes them got high-powered rifles and stuff. But at the same time, it's like, we so used to seeing the police ride around with guns and all this stuff, that we don't look twice and we don't be like, oh no, what's happening? Should we get out of here? It's like, that's just how the police dress now. So it's like, are we just used to it? Mm-hmm. And we ain't as aware as we should be aware.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
I kind of feel the same way. And agree with both of y'all. I feel like I have a sense of safety because of experience or the privilege of knowledge. So, and I say the privilege of knowledge because it's like, in me experiencing certain things or living in certain places, I know, okay, a fight look like, and this look like one, I about to leave. Or hey, I know that this neighborhood is known for this, so I don't stop. Right. I just drive at the speed limit. So is that like my safety is...
How though?
Huh?
How do you accomplish that, babe? Like, babe, Nassau, so they say in Nassau, New Providence, so small and so slapped together. There is no place in New Providence that is not in walking distance of a ghetto. Like, people say the inner city, but there ain't no such thing as the inner city. It's more or less like the rich people try to buy all the beachfront property, but everywhere is like, babe, think about a place in New Providence, and then I will tell you where in walking distance are working class poor people. Mm-hmm. And people will be like, oh yeah, don't go over there. But at the same time, that's where they just go to party, and that's where they just go for the food. It's like, if you say, ain't no place out east, because everybody, like, Foxhill right there,
Blair, Elizabeth,
it's Kiss Foxhill, right? Lizzie right there, right? And then it's like,
Logo if you Lizzie. Say
Albany, but you
Logo
got...
Logo Lizzie, unless you live Lizzie.
Okay. With the places is Gambier and Adelaide, mm-hmm. out west, where it's like there are people who scared to go in those places, right? Yeah. And they ain't like they necessarily like known for danger or nothing, but I'm just saying.
But somehow we have navigated it. How old are you, SJ?
33.
You don't ever get you ever get drunk?
No.
Okay, you never got jacked.
Niggas can't get
the fact that you had to think about that. Because that was my last real question is really like, how many of us have been, obviously crime is something that's super pervasive. Like, how much of us here have been affected in a specific way by crime? Like, for instance, this podcast, but how many of us have ever been robbed before? Like,
by gunpoint.
Yeah, for me it wasn't a gun, and also now that I think of it, it was the assumption of a weapon. They never actually pulled it out, but it wasn't about the vinyl.
Oh no, it was definitely a gun. But then the problem was, it was the niggas was young, and so like,
right,
you don't want scary niggas with a gun.
Ain't no reason in there, yeah, for real.
That's the worst, because they might shoot you and say sorry, I didn't mean to.
Right, and then, bro,
they just like, gone.
Understand? The dude had the gun in my head, and I was like, what do you want? And like, You ever see in somebody's eyes that that's the first time somebody ever asks this nigga that? Like, the nigga freeze. And he look at me like, I don't understand what you saying. Because he had planned this whole thing out. It was him. He boy was behind him because he boy was like, two of them, they clearly hype each other up to go rob me. But then afterwards, it's like his boy is like, "Will we do it?" Because his boy was like, when I say 10 feet away from him, all the way in the back, right? My and then it's like he holding the gun to me, and it's like, I was like, "What you want, dog? What you want?" And he's like,
"I don't know."
Your phone? Like he didn't. Like he didn't. He. You get a gun. You go in there. You wait in a bush for somebody to walk past. You try to grab them. They too big to grab. You pull out the gun on them. What was your plan? And like he didn't have a plan. He just is like, "This just what niggas do. We just go out and rob." And,
yeah.
And he didn't even know how to rob.
Just fueled with adrenaline.
Right. And so it's like
crazy. Yeah, that's similar to my story. Only thing, he didn't have a gun, and the boy, it was two boys, and one was like only 5 foot tall, and then they never actually pulled out their weapon. But it was like it was similar. Like they kind of flanked me. Yeah. And like one person like tap your pockets first. Then the other person, when you turn around, they there, right? So I've been robbed maybe once, twice, maybe.
Like the fact that you're in, like you ain't even sure.
Maybe give or take. I never obviously been at gunpoint. I know Jay has been robbed several times. He's the type.
Wow.
I just gonna say I have done like them. My robbers were very specific. It was either give me every day, give me this buy. Give me these shades.
Yeah.
So like they know what they was coming for.
They knew what they wanted. Yeah. They was diligent. Remember Proof, he's an island boy now. Like
they don't rob out just niggas.
No, no, no. I get robbed over here. And I was you know where the light is by what's that? CH Reeves? RM Billy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turning on, coming out of whatever the corner is onto Robinson Road. Right.
Yeah. What you doing?
First off, I was catching a ride, and I was sitting in the passenger seat of a right-hand car. I don't know where he come from, but as soon as the light turned red, car stopped, dude just appeared, gun in the window, give me what you got. Wait, that was, it happened quick. That's what, all I know was gun, red light, V-speed off, and two or three shots fired.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He didn't get nothing, but...
Still,
I mean, close enough, yeah.
The attempted robbery, right? Yeah, so like all of us have experienced that level of crime, and then obviously, like for me, I've lost my sister to violence, and I'm sure all of us have maybe lost a person or two, at least somewhat connected to us to crime in some way. So, obviously, I was gonna ask a question just to ask it, but like, is crime a problem in the Bahamas? Like, the thing, the short answer is
sure.
But somehow we navigating it like Stephen was saying, like we navigating it, we're going through it. Like I used to basically clown people from Family Island, you know, because they believe Satan was born here. And crime is happening as soon as you land, like that's a rite of passage or whatever. So usually you kind of clown them, but the reality is it is very dangerous. I know niggas that were shot at. I know niggas that were shot. So it is a dangerous situation, but I guess that leads us to like, what do you think is the biggest contributing factor to curbing crime? Like, is it the government? Is it the police? Is it the church?
I mean, it's us. To circle back to what you just say about like Family Island people, I was muttering, they scary, right? Not on just people, of course, right? But right? But like what has happened is everybody's forget ain't nobody really from Nassau. Like the only niggas who really from Nassau is the niggas who family from Fox Hill, right? Because that's the liberated Africans, when they captured the slave ship, they dropped them off. They didn't want them staying inside Nassau proper, so they tell them, y'all go, because y'all ain't slaves, so y'all go over there, and they gone over, and they established Fox Hill. Well, it was New Guinea back then. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Everybody else, we from a different island mostly, right? So, like, we'll say we from Nassau, but, like, we'll be from Auckland or Cat Island or whatever. All us are the result of these other islands. And, like, things that are small and insignificant on a different island, when you amplify it and you put it and you compress it and you condense that, then you have the problem. So it's like me and you rowing on an island where I live 7 miles from you, you live 7 miles from me. For us to fight, I gotta walk to you. By the time I get to you, I too tired to kill you. You understand what I'm saying? Like, the likelihood of us like fisting it out becomes less and less unless there's like a gathering or whatever for us to actually interact with each other. But Nassau, by all us bunch up, look at the map. Mm-hmm. Most of us live on the eastern side of New Providence because the middle of the island is actually where Fusion is, right? And most of us live on the east side of that. If all of us bunch up in that, and the majority of people in the country live in New Providence, and all of us live bunch up on that side of the island, I could bump into you, you could bump into me, and worse, I ain't got no car, so me and you stuck in the same neighborhood, right? Now we have more reason and more times to bump, to get upset with each other. Now we have more opportunity to get upset with each other and more ways to kill each other. So it's like, it ain't that nothing different happened. This is who we always have been. We just never had to address it because it never was condensed like this. It never had.
I'm just saying, let's grab the whole island and push it off.
I mean, into the first push the people in.
Stretch it out a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta scatter niggas out.
But even that, is there like, and I get spacing wise and proximity wise and all that, but I ain't never been in a crowded room and just run hot for no reason. So I feel like it's response training as well. Like certain things, just it ain't taught or practiced on how to respond. So it's like if you never know that, hey, your words just as effective as fists, then you only can resort to one thing.
I mean, you're right. I don't disagree with you. I would only add to that is like, one, you got to think about what happened before the person get inside the room. All right. So you might be like, wait, why this dude ready to dead over somebody spilling a drink on him? I mean, I feel like nobody's do that no more. All right. But let's just say.
It depends on how they respond.
Right. Like, why this dude acting like this, whatever. And like, are two of these dudes coming from an environment where, hey, you can't take nothing from nobody. If you show weakness, then niggas just gonna run all over you or whatever. And so the appropriate response is to get hype, right? But also, when you talk about your words being as effective as fists, I don't know about you, but like when I was growing up, like, but even to this day, I heard somebody say the other day, hey, only gals that mistalk, like a woman was upset with a man because he row her back. And her only response wasn't that, oh, you wrong. Her response was, what type of man is raw woman? You very womanish. You very womanish. And so it's like, that's sloppy. Hey, right. Apparently, he ain't supposed to talk. Man only supposed to use physicality, whatever. And so now, don't forget to take into account that there are people who are being raised where they're told speaking is a feminine trait. All this sitting down, reading books and but you're in it. All this talk, none of this talk make no sense or whatever. And it's like,
very saucy.
You bring all thing. But hey, I had, and then anyway, that's a whole different topic. But right, you got all that dumping in when this person walk inside the room and now they bump into you. And then you say, hey, everything straight, boss. He ain't understand what you saying, but it sound like you trying to pop off.
So you're talking about that basically that the way we socialize and
I mean, yeah, that's what I said. Like you right. But like we have to just always keep in mind in this person, nobody told you that murder is wrong. It's that in addition, somebody said the murder was wrong, but they didn't show you, but they showed you that it's okay to punch somebody in the back of the head.
Right.
Society plays a big role in the way we handle disputes. Because like you said, you know, they make trying to talk it out a soft thing, a feminine thing, as opposed to, you know, you're more manly if you take the approach to say, let's reason this out. This don't even have to go down in a physical way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Society has this brainwashed to the point that we feel masculinity is having to be angry and pop off and use our fists. You know what I mean?
Yeah, brute force. And I actually find that people respect communication. I think we hardwired for communication in general, and it's like if you're able to find that way, obviously the way I communicate to you might be different from the way I have to communicate to the boy from the groove with his hand on the thing. But I think there's a way to communicate in which, like, he didn't really want to do that. That's my personal belief. I believe innately he don't really want to joke me. Like, this is a means to end for him. This is, once again, like, how he socialized and stuff like that. But, like, we hardwired actually for unity. We hardwired actually to figure things out. But we just don't know how to do that. And then we incentivize, obviously, by like you said, the guys, them, think he was a bunker by trying to talk it out. If you're trying to work it out, you incentivize towards violence. So I think, like, obviously there's a thousand things that are happening that when you talk about the root of crime. But
you know what I think the root of crime is? Anything you touch on it, because he was like, you said, mm-hmm. you know, for these dudes, this a means to end. Yeah. And on that note, poverty, because dudes really out here just trying to make a living. They trying to steal from Peter, go sell the ball just to make them money to feed themselves in most instances. You know what I mean?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, yeah. There's that thing, crack cocaine. That's a hell of a thing too, right? Like mental, even like you go into like the mental health and stuff like that. I know, like, as a kid, you would see people talking to trees and talking to themselves on the side of the road by the red light, and you'd be like, "Oh, this person crazy." That was the whole synopsis. This person crazy,
right?
This was another backstory or life. Is like, this person crazy? And I think that trauma of like whatever that person going through, that's seeping into our society. That's someone, cousin, brother. And like, you know what I mean? Like we talk about, I don't know, he's so big. So that craziness seeping, he might as well have been talking to you. That boy by the light. You know what I mean? And you have drugs, you have psychosis, you have all these different things going on in society that we, as a culture, we kind of brush off. But you circle right back. They're the root of the crime, dude. That boy is not well. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen people steal. You know, there's a watch, like someone engagement ring gets teeth and sell for $5, but that ain't
just to get a hit.
That ain't a sound mind, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sort of thing. Like, it's not rational. And I think, like, we have to leave room for, like, you know, the notion that crime itself ain't exactly a rational thing either, right?
No, it's not. Because, like, rationally, like, you touch on it when you was like, we hardwired for unity. I never heard anybody express it like that, but, you know, human beings are social creatures, right? And so we are, everybody is always looking for a tribe or a team or something to pull for or root for, something to associate themselves with and say, this my people here, right? If you live amongst those people and then you say, I also gonna do something to harm them, I'm in a bad position. I gonna put them in a bad position. But you ain't leaving. This ain't like you doing this to a different country. You ain't flying abroad to rob somebody. You robbing somebody here. So the crime is going to impact here. So it, rationally speaking, that don't make no sense, because like, this going to impact you as well. Because now, if crime is your only way of making money, the next time you try to do this crime, they could be ready. So it could be harder to do the crime. If even for just that simple fact, the way you're doing it, you're making it harder for yourself on some level.
It don't make sense. Don't do the crime, kids. But like, that made me think about if you could though make a suggestion, one thing that we could implement as a culture, as a people, that would curb crime, what would it be? Jay, you have something? You know, like,
you know, I just listening to all of that, and I feel like looking back at yesteryears or even island life, I feel like there's a different aspect with crime because there's more togetherness, or like you say, like, everybody know everybody. So at some point, one, everybody know, like, yo, you ain't get away with it because everyone know everyone. But on the opposite side, is they're like, it's more community helping wise. Remember the days where I say, okay, you can leave your door open, or if you need something, just go down the road. Like, right now, if I needed some sugar, I needed some sugar, I know how much neighbors I could go to.
Better go straight to John's.
let me get some sugar, you know?
Yeah.
And so things
I agree with that though.
It's that diversion where it's like we've become separate as people. So now is where it's like every man for themselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where the desensitization comes. Because like Steven say, you robbing, but you ain't going out to rob. You ain't going to Miami to rob Miami.
One thing that always bothers me, bro, is like people in life, you don't get robbed. People in these affluent neighborhoods, they don't really experience it. You robbing a poor person? Like, why would you rob another poor person, bro? Like, I never understood that.
And that's because I don't see him as someone like me. Like, I don't see him as, okay, that's it. Like, I live in a two-bedroom, one bath, and the door don't work. And 2-1, he live in a two-bedroom, one bathroom, and they door don't work. So it's like,
you believe that two bed? You have a lot, but you have a lot of faith.
Luxurious.
Two-bed, one bath?
You have a lot of faith.
You're luxurious. But all us paying the same VAT and don't know where the money going. I wish people would just understand we have a collective, you know what I mean? Like we too close to be
like gone are the days of community, man.
Yeah.
Gone like Jake touched on, you know, like once upon a time, you know, we used to pride ourselves on it takes a village to raise a child, and literally everybody, like growing up on the island, everybody in the neighborhood was responsible for discipline. And I remember one time, bro, my grandmother went to work. Right, there was a bus that took her to work, so she used to leave her car home many a days. I got home from school early one day, leave the car there, keys on the kitchen table, bro. I hop in the car. Matter of fact, I put the car in neutral and push it out the yard so the neighbors don't hear me start the car. Right, get to the road, hop in the car, take a joyride.
Before I get back home, bro,
my grandmother already knowing the car was gone. Neighbor call her. She then neighbor come out to the road. Man, you going in this car? Stand in front of the car in the road. Stop me. Take the back home. Before my grandmother get home, she called me. Why you was in my car? You know what can happen when I get home, right? You know what I mean? But I say that to say, neighbors got involved back then. You can't do that these days. You know what I mean?
You got cussed.
You called. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's no more community, no more village raising these kids. You know what I mean? Everybody out there fending for themselves. And like, I think because it's that way and we're so divided, no one's accountable for nobody. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you doing me? Who are you to say anything to me?
It's capitalism.
Real, straight up.
That's what I blame capitalism, because like it causes all this divide. Because like, anyway, you're right. You're right. We're all divided, but that whole... The family used to be, everybody keeps thinking of like family as like a man and a woman and children, but it's like if you look through our history, it's rarely ever been that. But we always had an extended family. Yep. But like the more and more everybody is encouraged, you need to get your own place, you need to go over here, you need to do this and that, and we don't have a reason to pool or collect together or anything, and we don't even see each other that often. The further apart we get, and now it's like, if I have to work two jobs, who watching these children? Nobody watching the children.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and if in, like in the 80s, not even going back to the 60s, in the 80s, people could have worked one job and take care of an entire family. You could work three jobs as a single person and can't take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, so all that stuff trickling down, like it's a bunch of little things that lead to different stuff. And then of course we might say, okay, man, we got a 9-to-5 and we doing this. So we trying to do, we hustling, do it. And niggas on the street like, babe, if I ain't gonna be stressed out, cheap, I go rob a nigga or go move some dope.
Yeah.
What I pulling out all my hair for to just be stressed out. You know, is it like
if I had the balls to sell crap, I mean, I shouldn't say that on thing, but it is hard, don't you?
He insists on selling crack. He don't want to sell no other type of drug.
Crack is the product of it's top of the line, it's market. The market is calling for it. Okay, I submit to you. My one.
Just
I submit to you. Hard drugs. Who wants? Listen, if it ain't crack, it ain't that. But anyway, I submit to you my solution for crime and the Bahamas. All right, you want to hear it? Uh huh. Okay, so we can either buy a black Andrew's crabs and some monkey diamond, right? Follow me here.
tell us, Keenan. Where you gonna go with it?
But no, for real. Okay, so one of the major issues I think is. It might be a long walk, but like Fox Hill Prison, right? So we have like an overcrowded prison that is also like a jail, right? So everybody, you get in book, you in there for the booking, but there's no space. So now I got to give you bail, even though you allegedly killed 16 niggas. So now you out there on bail, niggas looking for you to kill you, plus you killed 16 niggas. So there's a probability chance you might kill someone else while you out, right? Yes, and yeah. And what happening is you proliferating the violence out there, right? More murders happening because you really supposed to be in. They're ready, like the police them do the investigation. They don't know you do the crime, but you literally on bamboo shock line trying to get a fried dry chicken, right? So if we could expand these prisons, right? Build the prisons, make the prison bigger. You have a jail, you have a prison. And we could actually have people on remand. Don't give people bail who aren't supposed to have bail, right? You will see a marked decrease in murder rate in a short period of time. And I would say within the first 4 years or so, you will see, oh, well, this really was like the majority, like criminals killing criminals and stuff like that. So basically build a bigger prison, which would affect the bail system, which would affect the crime.
So they are trying to do that. I don't know if you, like, they send back the bill. So they basically like, oh, we need a new prison. It costs $90 million. And then Ministry of Finance is like, you best rework them numbers. Right? So they working on that. But the other issue is that.
I don't read the news. So
that's the bad. That's fine. Nobody cares anymore. It, like, yeah. But, like, that's the box.
Like, I just pitched the whole, yeah, like, yes, we've been aware.
But that's the thing. So it's like, that's partially it. But then also, you have to deal with it's the judges. So part of the reason why you're getting bail is, if it takes 5 years for your case to come up, and we assume that you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
If I sit in jail for 5 years and you find me innocent, bro, but y'all getting sued beyond reason, bro. Right? So it's like... Yeah. You can't just hold niggas inside jail forever. But like it literally, there have been times where somebody was supposed to go to trial, and by the time it's their time, they done dead.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, and not just the dudes who are on bail or whatever, or like it'll take a full 5 years before this dude even see the court for the first time or whatever. Like he get charged, but the trial ain't happen. Right? And so if we could get more judges and more stuff on the front end, then that would also help deal with this stuff. But the truth is, like, the real, if we could stop doing stuff, I mean, all of you guys already said it, like, it have to do a lot with empathy and community and stuff. So it's like, if you could put yourself in the place of that person, if you could get, not even us, if you could get niggas them who in high school right now, to rebel against the immediate preceding generation, right? So like all the niggas who in their 20s and 30s who like, well, niggas don't make it to their 20s, their 30s on the street. But niggas who in their 20s still doing foolishness, right? If you can get all the niggas who in school right now just look at them and say, I don't want to be like that. And you could show them, hey, babe, I could show y'all where y'all can make it, it'll change in 5 years by itself because those dudes will die out. Yeah. And there ain't gonna be nobody to replace them, right? And so it's like, for sure. part of it is having an opportunity. Part of it is seeing the person across the street from you as the same as you, even if they aren't a clone of you. You know what I'm saying? And then part of it is also seeing all of us as one big team as opposed to saying, oh, them niggas in, I know where this nigga from, because he ain't from this corner. Ain't from that. Like, bae, you...
Where you from, bae?
Bae, like, it's wild. you like this wild where niggas them like never been off of New Providence.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I ascribe to that thinking of like if we could get the junior high and the kids to like have that culture shift, then that's probably the most likely that's gonna give us the best outcome for like seeing crime not be such a monster. And then there's people that never been exposed, like expose these kids to dope stuff. But I try my best like to like, hey, you could be an astronaut. Like, I mean, probably hard for you to be an astronaut. But the point is a thing that exists, that there's a path you could take to pursue that. And I think a lot of vehement kids don't even really, you know, they ain't exposed to that stuff. You mean I could draw? This thing I draw could be on a TV show. Or on a, you know what I mean?
This is why I touched on poverty earlier, because we know 9 times out of 10, the crime happening in the impoverished, or I guess persons that are acting on these crimes are from impoverished areas. If we could give those impoverished areas some special attention, education wise, mental wise, I mean, that could go a long way, bro. You know what I mean? Got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But even to that, it's stuff for niggas them doing, and they don't realize, like, babe, if you did this exact same thing without guns, it's a business model. Like, babe, if you was a gang leader, I'll tell y'all this, right? The best manager that I ever had was a dude who was Hoyas, right? But it was like, it was a reformed gang dude. Like, babe, this dude was, he was the world's greatest manager. Like, babe, he knew how to motivate you to do work. He knew how to like, and the thing is like, it never used to come off like he was barking orders at you, right? But it's like, you just like, okay, yeah, blah. And like, he knew how to motivate a whole crew of dudes, whatever, right? So like, these dudes have the skills. If you already have a business model where you're saying, I can rent a gun, I lease in a gun, because now we have guns where it involved multiple crime. If you could come up with the startup capital to go get a gun, to go rob somebody and pay somebody back. Y'all niggas have a business model. Y'all just doing it with the wrong stuff. Like, y'all understand how business works, right? And so, like, that's a part, like, for me, that's the issue. But then also, like, thank you. I do feel like sometimes just like, we just have to wait for them to do some that, but you're right. You're right. They are impoverished. I gave up halfway through. But like, the people who poor, they feel they poor and they feel that they got to do this. If you can show niggas them a different way,
And there's regular people like us, not just Sabas. Hey, Sabas. Not just like, you know what I mean, like the millionaires and the politicians and whatever. Like regular dudes. Like if you could fix a car and say, hey, look here, Tony. You try to fix a car, and then you can show him that you can make some money fixing this car. So now Tony don't get to sell crack, the crack that I was talking about earlier, right?
Sorry to cut you off. There was a video one time. I remember that video going viral when the niggas thief the car, and probably like in an hour's time they strip that car down to pieces, and the police is there like, look what you all doing. You all might as well fix car. Yeah. Like you all have the knowledge and you all have the skill. You all just using it wrong.
Yeah, right, because that's the only way they know how to make money with it. They don't know how to make money with it in any other way.
Yeah. Right. And that's because of corruption, to be honest, right? Like, we live in a corrupt society. So, you know, but that's another episode. We can bring you off of that one.
Oh, I was just going to say, the thing with the, like, where you talk about you can make money off of art and all this different stuff. Babe, I don't know about y'all, right? I remember when I was young, my grandma is like, I wanted to be a veterinarian. And my grandma is like, ain't nobody could pay you no money to be an old dog doctor, old cat and dog doctor. That was her exact word. And like, man, I remember having to get the encyclopedia and showing her, because the encyclopedia, the college encyclopedia had how much different occupations got paid. Mm-hmm. And it was like, babe, vets get paid way more than teachers get paid. And she was a teacher. But in her mind, she did not see the value of it.
She and so it's like down to a dog doctor.
Right. So it's like, you ain't even a real doctor. You're a dog doctor. That don't make no sense.
Bro, I've never heard that. That's such a lame thing, bro.
Part of it is like...
You won't be over here giving CPR to pot cake? No.
Right. So, but part of the issue is, beyond just showing the kids, you could show a kid, but you could be an astronaut, or you could, like, exposing them to this stuff. Mm-hmm. But if their parents never was exposed to it, and their parents don't believe it's a real thing, they with you for 1 hour out of school, and you speaking to them, and I ain't saying don't go speak to them, right? Yeah. But it's like the 1 hour you there with them versus them going home and their parents saying, you can't do none of that stuff. You ain't smart enough to do that. All that is a part of the problem. Their parents are not knowing.
Their parents.
But that's what I'm saying. No, but I agree. Part of it is going to have to be like, on some level, you got to rebel against your parents who don't see that you could be more than they ever dreamed of.
I got so much stories like that coming up too. Like even with me, I wanted to be a detective at first, and my mommy is like, "Damn, make no money," and I didn't, you know, I didn't pursue that literally because of like
her discouragement,
right? Yeah. And I have people who artists and like they used to like to draw, and they said, "Oh, you gotta make no money like that," and now I work amongst people who make good money to design and to draw and stuff like that, right? Like, so yeah, I definitely believe in. That exposure is a part of the formula for sure, but there's so many moving pieces when we're talking about crime for sure.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, so just wrapping up this one, there's this thing we've been doing for the past couple of episodes where we're trying to nominate our culture icon of the year. Right.
Oh boy.
So we have a short list. You just had two people to pick. We would debate why they deserve to be an icon, and then at the end there will be crowned one icon for the year. Okay. And so
who's on the list?
Yeah. So far we've gone to
Sweet Emily.
Oh man, you gotta say it like that. Sweet Emily is actually on the list. She was the first to be eliminated, per our process. And then we had some places on there. We had
I don't know nothing about this Emily. If you're watching this, I don't know what they're talking about.
But it just let the record state that we chose her outside of anything. She was one of the nominees for one of the first ever female BAME nominees for Culture Icon Award. Not that this award mean anything. But yeah, so right now
who is on the list presently?
Okay, so the remaining icons are the late great Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe, Darren Miller, the infamous Darren Miller, the illustrious,
lively and provocative
singing bishop.
I wonder if I could turn off my camera. Sorry, go ahead. Continue. You got the singing bishop,
the melodic singing bishop, and Hubert, is it G? I feel like it's G. Ingram.
I think it's Hubert Alexander Ingram.
Oh, my boss. See?
Both of them are Hubert Alexanders.
Okay. Where I get the G from? Oh, there's a Hubert G on the radio. Shout out Hubert G. But yeah, Hubert, that guy. Great, former prime minister. Right honorable. Right?
I so gotta ask, what is the criteria for being nominated as a cultural icon? Like your impact. Go ahead.
Longevity and being iconic, residual.
I want you to know.
You're just making it
clearly because it's like if you talk about longevity, Miles, up until the mid '90s, they were still saying he's a cult leader.
Yeah, that's how you know.
How much being in cult leaders you know?
A lot. What you talking about?
They're not calling you a cult leader.
That's a different subject for another episode.
I'm just saying, you know, that. Anyway, this is right. That's a different topic.
These are the actual criteria. First of all, you have to be a behemoth, self-identify, right? No one who
self-identify as a behemoth.
Yeah, no. What I mean is, no one who we claiming, but they don't themselves claim to be behemoth.
Yeah, we put that so. Nobody can vote for Beyonce.
We're not doing that. They have to have at least one memorable or iconic moment, right? They have to be, they don't have to be living, apparently. We only want to limit it to one politician per pick. We don't want it to be a list of politicians.
Oh, wait, ideally. so this is the list for this episode.
This is the remaining list. This is going to narrow down after this episode. So
that's it? This is all the people that we can pick from, possibly?
This is our picks. These are our picks.
Sorry, my bad. You know, it's your show. It's your show. My bad. No, you're right.
You can throw something in the hat for the people's choice.
No. I'm going to go with, if I had a vote, I'd vote for out of that group.
Hold on. Before you vote, you got to vote to someone off.
What type of negativity this is? Why this can't I just be positive and just vote for someone?
No, you gotta. Let's go to the process. So right now, remaining, like I said, is the late great Dr. Miles Monroe, Darren Miller, the singing bishop, and Hubert Ingham. I mean, that's you. Any one of those guys could be amazing, right?
So if I were to take somebody off, I'm gonna vote for the person who they, as well as their family, will take the least offense. And so I'm gonna vote to take off Hubert Ingham.
You're gonna be a politician one day.
Hubert Ingham wouldn't mind being removed, because also he's the dude who turned down a knighthood and the top honor from our top national honor. There's a national honor that they started to bestow, right? Mm-hmm. And like, he turned it down. So it's like, if it's somebody who don't mind not getting an award, it's him. He ain't gonna be hurt. His family. Right, yeah, right. I understand that. But
he should have been that statue they're doing. Anyway, go ahead.
That was him, right? At Nabucco,
yeah,
with this.
Yeah, Nabucco. Yeah.
At the airport.
Listen, understand. If it's one thing, they're not good at any statue. If a statue is at an airport, just let that one go. Die in the one.
Yeah, don't get a statue airport version.
Yeah, because the Pinland one in the one either. So yeah. Just don't get your statue at the airport. You got to get a regular one. But yeah, I mean, that's who I would pick, all right?
That's okay. The leader of our country, that's the one you...
The former leader of our country...
Yeah, former leader of our country. That's
right.
And you're going to leave on the singing bishop, and Darren Miller and Martin. Okay,
I would vote for the singing bishop.
Okay.
Finally, somebody agreed with me.
So quick case for singing bishop. Bill, a quick case for him as a cultural.
Talking about a Cat Island man, right? Who's brought himself up by the bootstraps? Did you know he's a tailor, and a hat maker?
I did, in fact, yes.
He's you're talking about an artistic man, and then it's like
artistic.
With an R.
Put some respect on that.
No, I'm just for that direction.
No, because and it's like, so he's done a lot of things, and you know, persons question his. I remember one of the big critiques was, oh, he's danced too much, and I'll be honest with you, his church have like 20 different dance teams. Like I've had the opportunity to attend a concert. I didn't know which adjective to use, right? And there are like three dance teams for young boys, three for girls. Then it should be right. Then it's the young adults. Then it's the adults. The men have a dance team. The women have a dance team. It's like everybody have a dance team. It's like 30 different dance teams. Like, you know, like, the churches have the children's choir, the youth choir, this choir. No, they got dance teams.
This is a Jabberwocky church. Okay.
It's a lot happening. But I will say, like, people could criticize him for that. But, I mean, which church doesn't have a bunch of pageantry? And a lot of, like...
I mean,
style and flair and theatrics.
Let's be honest. If we're talking pageantry, is the pageantry yourself the pageantry, right? Like,
no, I don't think so.
Don't make it seem like he's the standard.
No, but that's the thing. He's not the most theatrical of all churches. You don't think? There are churches that have laser light shows.
Well, I guess
right? I worship.
But I'm saying, So I'm saying, like, if we can't just discard somebody. The truth is, you gotta say what it is. It's a socioeconomic thing, right?
Oh my gosh!
Because, like, no, if his church was in First Street, the Grove, or wherever it is, inside in the middle of the ghetto, right, with a big pot outside cooking fried chicken for all the poor people to eat. If his church was in there, if his church was somewhere else more affluent, where all the cool kids could go, the same people who is go to MacFit, is go to his church. Yeah, you know what I talk about, Jay, right? If the type of people who's go to MacFit used to go to his church, they'd have been right there saying, you don't understand, when he dance, it's different. Like, so it's all about perspective and stuff. So I'm not gonna discard it.
In the interest of time, we'll hear your argument. So your vote is to remove somebody, Papa, and you're singing Bishop.
Your vote don't count here, so it don't matter. But go ahead.
My vote.
If I could just change the heart of one person, you know?
You've done your job today.
My vote was actually the opposite. And I was keeping Eubin Ingram. Mm-hmm. And I was letting go singing Bishop.
Why?
While the Bishop is doing great things, feel like his iconic run has been as long and as impactful as of yet as Eubin Ingram. So in this current moment in time,
I don't know.
He's getting outmatched right now. So give him some time and he might catch up. Like, let's revisit it sometime. He might do more for the people. But
to add to that point, the singing bishop is currently still functioning in the role as singing bishop, Mr. Right. Humanitarian himself, feeding the people. Papa, in other news, is yesterday's Papa.
We don't know what Papa doing right now. What do you think Papa doing now? This is just a question.
He's signing his the first volume of his autobiography, which is fine because, like,
he's the leader of the opposition.
No, he's not. Which Hubert Alexander are you talking about? You're talking about Hubert Alexander Ingram.
You're talking about you, bigot.
Gotta think about these things, people. Like,
the other Hubert is still not running the opposition. He's trying, but he ain't running it.
We're talking about the fake Hubert. We're talking about the real Hubert. No offense,
But Hubert gave born Hubert, didn't he? Wasn't he OBGYN? Yeah, maybe OBGYN.
I mean, that's neither here or there. Anyway, I can't be biased.
That's circumstances.
Circumcision. I just got to say the wrong thing.
The vote is what proof?
Papa get voted off the island.
Not a sec. And my vote don't matter no more. Okay. All right. Now, first and foremost, let me just say.
I think the bishop, I can't vote bishop off.
Darryl Miller ain't going nowhere. I might as well tell you now. Okay. Who? Forget about it. Darryl Miller, he's not going anywhere. All right. Okay. Let's just establish that. Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
I respect him. He's done his thing. I've seen him do amazing things. I've seen him literally do the splits in front of me. But I'm going to go ahead and say, Hubert Ingram, I mean, the way that man has led this country.
You were a kid.
But I'm a man now. I wouldn't have made it. Would have made it.
I don't want to be.
Wouldn't have made it outside the FNM regime.
Point of order.
And I don't like none of them niggas, but I just said, like, I never would have.
Don't forget. I never would have made it. What, the Immovable Properties Act that happened under Hubert Ingram? That's the reason why none of us could afford property right now.
The broadcasting, that's all. That's how you get your bread and butter. You eating bread and butter tonight because of Hubie. Listen, that's all I'm saying.
Niggas don't pay me. What he should have done is put something in place to make sure that he's cheap. Media houses stop ripping off people. They don't pay their journalists.
But that's, oh Lord!
They can't cancel us. We are uncancelable. I have to release a statement. But yeah, Darryl ain't going nowhere. Singing Bishop. He's done amazing things, but I'm gonna go ahead and vote for Hubert Ingram. to remain, and Singing Bishop to go ahead and sing after all of this. Well,
there are other people on the list. I don't know why it feels like y'all have a personal vendetta against.
No, it's just you pick out you,
Lawrence
you
know, Rule.
You pick your conviction. So I guess. He's
like a
attended. Hey, we have the license rights to that.
I vote Bob off the island, man.
You vote Bob off the island. And who you vote off the island, Jay?
A piece like a river, all right. He going in the river. Come on.
So, Bishop Lawrence, we love you. We appreciate you. We can slide by for some chicken later, but that's it. That's what this is, where the road starts. Thank you for your contribution. Well, great.
Y'all remember that time, man, in the middle of the pandemic when Prophet Lawrence Rule and Simeon Outen had a versus battle?
Yep.
No, I don't.
Y'all remember that? Wow.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I was
thank epic. You. Right. Ingram may never epic. Do that. Ingram may never had a versus battle.
But now you're bringing something to my imagination. We need a Perry. Perry Christie Hubert Ingham battle, a dance off of some sort, or maybe
that's not a Hubert Lewis dance.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's this episode of Culture Quest.
The Blazers.
Oh crap! Yeah, I didn't write down the Blazers. Do y'all remember the Blazers? That's left.
In the last episode, we voted Dirties off.
What type of abomination is this? What is happening?
I don't know what happened in that one.
We left Bertha's and Super Value on the list.
Stop. Super Value and Bertha's are the last two places standing.
Out of what? Places.
Out of Dirties.
And y'all.
Yep. Dirties get kicked.
So Dirties is gone. According to these
groups. For Bertha's and Super Value. Okay.
Hey, give him your rationale for Super Value again.
Who? Y'all need me to do this?
Get him with the Super Value.
Explain to us how this works.
Listen to me. Super Value stamps have changed the way we lived as people. You know how much families have survived off those stamps? Licking. Some people lick. Some people glue. Some people use water. Survive off of Super Value stamps? First of all.
Many people. That's the answer.
You know, but Amplus, I mean, this was a little controversial, but you know how much of the new generation was conceived in Super Value?
I mean, that's a lot.
And who would have given us more iconic outrage moments than Rupert Roberts?
It's a thing, all right? Super Value is a very important place. You may have been there in the last, you've been to Super Value recently. That's all I'm saying. You've been to Super Value.
I haven't been to Super Value since 2022.
You lie.
No, I got the police report to prove it.
Okay, we gotta have you tell us that story. I was just gonna say, if we pull up this footage, we ain't gonna find you.
No,
Super Value and I.
Never. Really? I just go to Solomon's. Like send my money to Abaco Markets Limited.
Wow. Well, that's
I gotta be an endorsement. Solomon's? What Solomon ever do for the people?
I think will they give you back 1% of whatever you spend?
Well,
they have a program. You get points back, man.
Yeah.
How much stamps that is? 1%.
Well, okay, let's figure out what is the value of a single stamp. You just spend $5 to get one stamp.
You think this man will have a rational conversation with you?
There are 20 Come stamps.
On, this is a behemoth show.
20 stamps equals $1, right? So 20 divided by, let's say, 100. That's what, 5?
You lose me on two.
You do way too much maths. All we know is 1-2 Buckham & Shoe, Super Value, and Bertha's Good Little Ribs.
Super Value or Bertha's? Big burn. That's it.
As simple as that.
So each stamp is worth 5 cents. Yeah, so it's the same amount.
Okay, so therefore,
Johnny, the difference is you don't have to spend as much to get back something. With Super Value, if you don't spend $5, you don't get your 1% back.
look at the closest Solomon to you and look at the closest Super Value to you.
I wouldn't know where the closest Super Value is to me. I can tell you where the closest Solomon is.
You don't know what
I don't go to Super Value.
I know it's a Super Value. Super Value, weren't you?
Oh. Yeah. I don't go to Super Value. You want to talk about budget? I can talk about budget. We can talk about George. We can talk about Meat Max. We can talk about everybody else. But anyway.
You want to talk Bohemian?
How am I anti-Bohemian? All those Bohemian places, you can't have a business in the country if a Bohemian ain't on the board.
I ain't never run into no police officer whose last name was Shay, so moving along.
There are police officers whose last name is Shay.
So,
I never. Anyway, you know what?
But
let me not.
I digress.
Let me not be that person.
Even Ambic and Supervisor. So, Alberta's you go ahead and.
You know what? Let's be positive. If I were to pick, one of them has an iconic song. And the other one has been recycling the CM Soca song from before any of us was born. I hope that man has gotten all of his royalty rights from that. Hey, favorite party people, everybody jumping. They singing that in the background. I hope that man must be a millionaire off of how much size they use that song.
Whereas, I doubt it.
Bertha's Go-Go Ribs, taste so good. I don't eat ribs, but whatever. If I have the choice between breakfast, that's Super Value.
They don't just do ribs. Hold on, wait. They don't just do ribs, bro.
I heard they also do macaroni and corn. But like, it's great.
Don't say it like it's insignificant.
I wish that I was here in the earlier parts to see who y'all voted off, because I don't understand how y'all voted off dirtiest.
I don't understand that either, to be honest.
I don't think it was my vote, but.
No, you voted on dirtiest.
How two-thirds of you could say that you don't know?
I think I did.
I was the one that fought for Dirty.
You vote off Rosalie. We already in a situation where...
I leave Bertha's on for longevity, but Bertha's been at it for a minute and still there. Still making that bomb barbecue sauce.
The way that you are selling it is wonderful. You're selling it like... You know what? Yeah, here's the thing. We can't continue to let these monopolies come and just stranglehold everything out, because once there's only them and ain't nobody else to compete with, they don't have to give you good service. They can start saying, oh, you want ketchup or not? We don't have no ketchup. Or you want a roll? Roll don't come with Kong snack no more. We don't have no Kong snack. All we got is cracked chicken. That's what happens when you don't support Keats, when you don't support JJ's, when you don't support all these little mom and pop. Don't fix your face, Jay. Right? It's not when you don't support bomb and pop chicken shacks, right? Chicken shacks should be the chicken that you get from the chicken shack should be made by somebody who live around the corner from you. You should know if somebody Grammy in there cooking it. Who cooking? Who? The last time you get a crack cunk, who cooked that?
You don't know.
You don't know. Exactly.
Exactly.
You don't know.
You just don't know.
You don't know.
Somehow I feel like they still have something to do with Super Value. But
I wouldn't even waste my breath, because they don't make crack on at Super Value. I mean, they may have. I haven't been there since 2000.
You never had Super Value crack on?
I can't wait till we find this footage of you on Super Value live during the pandemic.
I say 22. I've been there since 2022. The pandemic was over. It was December. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
That's not when the pandemic's over. Pandemic's still going on in a lot of our hearts. So
I would pick Bertha's.
You pick Bertha's. You pick Jay.
Hold on. To stay or to go?
To stay.
To stay, yeah.
I pick a Super Value.
Why? Yeah. Let's break it down. Since that's the case, here the next time you guys have this discussion, right? But I'll leave you with something.
We can do a mini episode just for this.
Which Super Value are you selecting to stay? Because the Super Value top of the hill, Mackey Street, is nothing like the Super Value on Blue Hill Road opposite NIB. The produce section ain't the same. The deli ain't the same. They don't have a deli. So let me ask you this. Value are you picking?
Let me ask you this. Are all Bohemians the same? Don't Bohemians come in many?
It's a franchise. Don't come with that foolishness. It's a franchise. It's owned by the same. They are different smells. You want to know another fun fact? You ever used the bathroom by Super Value?
Okay, now see, I feel like this getting personal.
No, I actually have you ever used the bathroom by supervisor?
I feel attacked. But yes, I have before. And plus, you know what fruit baskets supervisors provided?
Because they the biggest. If you're the only people in town, if you're the only gig in town, it don't count. So I gotta compare you with yourself.
What happened to City Market?
And this is the argument we had on the last episode. They've monopolized the market. They haven't left people with much of a choice.
But you know that. Yeah. So here's the thing. What I didn't learn until recently. So we think that Super Value has always been Super Value because by the time we catch scent, that's what it was. But you know, like how people say portion control by Robinson Road. Mm-hmm. So apparently, if you go back far enough in time, portion control was a different branch a food store than Super Value. There was like three different portion control and he bought those. And then there was another set and he bought those. So the fact that he's the last one standing, listen, by all means, if that's what you like, cool. I like a little bit of variety and competition because I can't force somebody to fight against themselves, right? And so if I want fresh fruits on Blue Hill Road, I gonna go to Laura.
That's it.
That's all I gotta say.
Shout out to Laura. She should have been on the list.
Not because y'all voting for Ingram. Ingram and Laura and friends. That's why.
Yeah, but that's what you need, that sort of juxtaposition. But yeah, so
don't
so
hide your face, Jake. Don't hide your face.
We kill it. We're killing off
which super value? I need you to say which super value. Because there's only one birthday. The birthday's on Mackey Street. So which Mackey super Street, value? Yep.
I can throw y'all the curveball.
Yeah, straight. Don't throw the curveball.
Yeah. I gotta go Golden Gates.
Okay.
Why you say
something so profound? Mackey Street. So Golden Gates is the headquarters, but Mackey Street have the best stuff. I can't even plug in.
That's everything you need to know. I think we lose. I gotta go ahead and lose Bertha's, guys.
Wow. Why?
Because so first of all,
Bishop and Bertha's to the curb.
When last we had Bertha's? If you had Bertha's in the last 3 months, I'll keep Bertha's. Exactly.
I had Bertha's last month.
You're lying. Okay. You lying.
I'm sure telling you, bro.
They just ain't loyal like you, dog. That's all.
Bro, anybody eating Bertha's? We love Bertha's. It's a staple.
I know.
There's a reason.
Super Value never catered nobody wedding.
They catered plenty of people wedding, bro.
No, they didn't cater. You had to go there and you had to buy the food and cook it yourself.
What you call that?
That's not catering. That's grocery. It's grocery shopping.
They catered the supplies.
I know, Rick. Listen, I can't believe this. Bertha's is not allowed, you guys.
Super Value is the culture icon establishment of season 2. Shout out to Super Value. After y'all then, bought Super Value head right on the body in this episode. But yeah.
Hey, so, man.
Thank you for coming. It's been great. We hope you and Super Value heal all the wounds that y'all did.
Yeah, man.
Y'all work on that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something could happen. Something good could come out of all of this. So, appreciate you for coming on Culture Quest. This is our longest ever episode.
No problem.
By landslide.
Brought to you by Solomon's Fresh Market.
Then they got the
Royal Bahamas Police Force. We lock them up.
So, yeah, until next time, link up. Appreciate y'all staying and listening. Next time, link up.